A sloka Krishna talks about in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. In the 15th chapter, Krishna explains the position of the living entities. There he says, Mamai Vamso Jiva Loke, Jiva Bhuta Sanatana, Manasastani Indriyani, Prakritistani Karshati. So Krishna calls this place Prakritistan. We heard of like Pakistan and Afghanistan and so many stans, Kazakhstan. But according to Krishna, this place, this whole world, this material world, he calls it Prakritistan. In the Vedic teachings, it's mentioned that Anandamayo Vyasat, that meaning we are all eternally pleasure-seeking by nature. But Krishna says, Prakritistani Karshati. But being situated in the Prakriti, we are all suffering. We are all suffering in this material world. And especially in this age, this particular age we are living in, it's the Iron Age or Kali Yuga. This time is cyclical, just like we have summer, winter, spring and autumn. We have Golden Age, Silver Age, Copper Age, and this is the worst of the times. Kali Yuga or Iron Age. And the qualities of people of this age is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It says that Prayena alpa isa sabhya, kalau asmin yugejana, manda samanda matayo, manda bhagya upadrutaha. Sukadeva Goswami says, this age of Kali, people are short-lived. They're always quarrelsome. People fight over anything these days. Quarrelsome, disturbed, unfortunate, misguided. Spiritually speaking, really, really slow. Even materially speaking, people are like dull compared to, you know, other ages. I was watching one TV show. It was showing how one lady calls this city council. And she's complaining. She's making a complaint to the city. She's saying, this is really funny. She's saying, you know what? The deer, the animal, you know, deer, it was crossing the highway like, you know, where I drive to work. And the deer hit my car 4 times so far. And it dented my car really bad. And she's showing photos of the car being dented. And she's saying, why don't you guys put this deer crossing sign somewhere else? Where there's not much traffic. Why you put it in the middle of the highway? And the guy that works for the city, like, he was so amazed. He's like, did I understand you correctly? You mean like the deers are spontaneously attracted to the sign and they're causing disturbance? Is that what you're saying? She's like, exactly. Why don't you put it like in a forest or in a park or somewhere? Why you put the deer crossing sign in the middle of the city? It's causing so much disturbance. And this guy's like, they're trying to hold back, you know, trying not to be rude, laughing. So they're like, okay, you know, we'll think about it and we'll, you know, we'll get back to you on that one. So I was thinking, you know, this is the kind of people we're trying to tell about Krishna consciousness and high esoteric philosophy out there. It's difficult. And the question is, why aren't we happy? If we are eternally pleasure-seeking and the soul is part of Krishna, part of God, who is always happy, why we are not happy? We are always looking for happiness and it's very hard to find happiness. But we are not looking for suffering. Is anybody here meditates on suffering or prays that they get some suffering? But it comes. It comes without invitation. And there is so much suffering in this world. Krishna explains that this world is dukkhalayam ashaswatam. Same thing is mentioned in all the teachings, like Buddha said. Nirvana, vana means forest. Buddha said this world is like a forest of repeated birth and death, bad karma. So he said, get out. So there's so much suffering in this world. It's a reality. It's not being negative. And especially with the technology, we can actually see so many videos out there. And it clearly shows, you know, the nature of this world. And especially death actually strikes when we least expect it. It's like it was in the news. I saw this guy comes into a gas station and he parks his car and he goes to the cashier to pay some money so he can come back and get some gas. And then behind him, there was a big truck. And somehow or other, you know, karma, the truck actually falls on the car and just crushes everybody inside, namely the wife and the kids of this guy. Moments ago, he was just with his family and they're eating ice cream. And next minute, everybody is gone. He's just like pathetically running around the truck and the car crying, like trying to open the door and do something. But it's just like he couldn't believe it. And all the people that was there, nobody could believe it. And there was this competition. This is actually a little crazy for most people, but there was this competition to see who can eat most cockroaches. And the speciality is these cockroaches are not ordinary cockroaches. They're specially raised, bred, and raised with food and stuff. So they're not from the toilets. That's, you know, something special. So these cockroaches, they're making a competition. And they're seeing who can eat the most cockroaches. And the, you know, and there's like a line of people. And they're standing with like a bucket of cockroaches. And they're given a little cup of water. And most people are like struggling. But the reward is, if you eat all the cockroaches that was given to you, then you get an $850 snake. What a reward, huh? So you get to eat cockroach, so you can get a snake to live with. So one guy was super enthusiastic. He's actually like, you know, he's like pounding his chest and he's super enthusiastic. And looks like he's eating granola or something. You know, he was just so happy looking and he's so fast and everybody's, you know, cheering him up. And believe it or not, he ate like half a bucket of cockroaches. And then something happened. He died. He died within like minutes. One of those must have been like a poisoned one or something. So they're showing video how, you know, they're suing this pet shop that was, you know, there was the in charge of this contest. There's so many, you know, craziness going on. It was all innocently looking for happiness. But the result is always suffering. Suffering comes without invitation. There was another video that was showing how in Brazil, this guy walks in the tire shop. He walks in the store with a gun and he's going to the cashier and asking the cashier for some money. So the cashier lady, being intelligent, she just hands over whatever she's got, you know, here you go. But the sales guy, trying to show his prowess, trying to be a hero, he starts fighting with this guy who's got a gun. So this guy was not joking. He actually shoots this guy, the salesperson, twice in the stomach. And then he falls on the ground. And then he still grabs onto the legs of this thief, trying to save the money of the store. And finally he shoots him on the head and runs away. That was it. 3 bullets, he's gone. So I was thinking like, what, you know, just for a few bucks, you know. He was trying to be so loyal to the store or something. But the end was just like least expected. It was like another day at work, you know, all these dreams, all the bills to pay, the kids are there in school. But another day, you know, but uninvited. It's just, you know, death approaches. There was this lady, she's actually like a millionaire. Very, very wealthy person in China. And then she was trying to go somewhere, nobody home, doesn't have her phone on her. She was trying to go somewhere, and then the elevator gets stuck. She can't open it. It's just like all of a sudden this locked. And she's like an older lady, you know. She's struggling and straining, the security cameras are recording. What can you do? You just can't open it. And 10 days later, the neighbors are calling the cops saying something is really smelling bad next door. Can you come? And then the security guards and the police, they come to find that this lady was actually stuck in the elevator and couldn't get out, didn't carry her phone. All the family members were out of town. Can you imagine? We think karma is just like we say we don't believe in karma, or we believe it in a convenient way. But can you believe, imagine dying so slowly, no food, no water, you can't open anything, you just can't go to the toilet, you can't shower, you're just slowly dying in a cage. It's like being in a cage, like a bird. It's pretty, you know, heavy. Material nature is not, you know, like a piece of cake. The world we are in, it's actually a very heavy place. There was this person in charge of this travels called Raj Travels in Mumbai. He had this business. He slowly worked on it for so many years and years. Finally, in his late 50s, you know, he made it big and he's worth like so many crores, so many millions and millions of dollars. So recently he asked his driver, like last week, to drop him off near a bridge. He said, I just want to meditate and just want to be alone. And I'll call you later, you can pick me up. So the driver dropped him off. And this guy, you know, jumps off this bridge into the ocean and just washed away. You know, we think like money is going to satisfy us, it's going to bring us fulfillment and satisfaction, but it's not true. As I was reading about him, the website says, you want to see all the people that committed suicide from 2000 to 2012? And the list, I can't even imagine how many people have committed suicide. These are all like wealthy people, good-looking people. There was this lady, her name was Vivek Babaji. She's got an auspicious name, Vivek Babaji. She's a model from Mauritius, very famous. She's very popular, made so many movies. And she just hung herself in her apartment, very palatial apartment, in her fan. Just hanging dead. So what kind of world we're living in? Prakriti sthani karshati, Klisa explains. We're all trying very, very hard to ignore the reality. We want to forget about the realities in the name of being positive and the name of, you know, being optimistic. But, you know, we're trying to find happiness in a place where there's no happiness, no material happiness. It's hard to ignore the realities, even though we're trying really hard. It's like having an elephant in the room. I mean, if it's like a cockroach or a mouse, you can ignore it. But if you have an elephant in the room, how could you not notice it? Similarly, birth, death, old age and disease, it's so obvious. It's like the most most occurring, most common thing in this world. Everybody experiences it. It's like I remember when I was like 3 years old, I had this bird. And the bird died. I mean, for the first time in my life, in this life at least, I'm asking like my parents, what happened? My mother said, oh, it died. So, what means? Means it's just dead. You know, this, at least my parents knew something about the soul. So my mom was saying, it died. So what do you mean died? Means the soul is gone. It just, I'm crying like anything. That was the first experience in this lifetime of death. And she's explaining how we won't come back and we have to bury it and otherwise the ants will come and this and that. I'm like, what is this? This was unbelievable. And then I saw my grandfather dying and slowly, we become used to it. Nowadays, like, death. But initially, it's a very shocking experience. So in this way, we are thinking we are very experts in seeking pleasure. And we think, I know how to find happiness. But what goes on in the name of finding happiness is struggle for existence. Ahara nidra bhaya maithunam cha, Bhagavatam says, eating, mating, sleeping and defending. Even these common things which animals easily do without having to work 9-to-5 jobs, we struggle. And even if we work hard, nowadays everything is toxic. Every food is poisonous. Everything causes cancer. We can't sleep peacefully. We have to like take Valium or some kind of, you know, herbs or something to fall asleep. Everywhere is so much noise. True story, one guy actually went for a retreat in Thailand. But he actually is from New York, so he actually took a CD of all the New York noises with him so he could actually fall asleep, otherwise it was too much, too quiet for him. So we can't sleep, we can't eat the water, so we have to buy water for like, nowadays water costs up to like $3.50 if it's alkalinized water. And just to, you know, secure, just to, you know, defend ourselves, we have some savings. And then the yoga text of India explains, you know, savings doesn't mean anything. It's just a myth. It's just a false security in our heads. Savings don't mean security. They don't equate security. I remember going to see this one young lady in Melbourne, 30 years old, dying of cancer. And she was a very wealthy person, very educated, lots of money, free medical treatment in Australia. But death, you know, it's not, disease and death is whatever amount you have, it's not necessarily you're going to be safe. So this is all illusion. And it's explained that if we collect so much and we die, we actually become a snake or a ghost to actually protect the treasure, the investments that we have made, because we are too attached, we cannot move on. There was a friend, his dad actually would go to this person who could talk to the spirits. And one ghost told my friend's father, oh, you know, I actually have this treasure. Do you want it? And my dad's friend is confused, like, why are you offering? And the ghost said, because of this, I cannot move on. I cannot go to my next body. I'm just in the ghostly existence. So please take it. That way, like, I can be free. Can you imagine? Working hard all life to become a ghost. And Prabhupada tells this story of this person called Kailash. Kailash was a, you know, nice person, hard-working person. And Narada Muni, this saintly person who's very powerful, he would go to Kailash and he would preach to Kailash about after life and not being attached to material possessions and so on and so forth. But Kailas was like, oh, you know, I hear you, but my kids are too young. It's too soon for me to give up all these things. Maybe when my kids grow up, then I can follow your instruction and become very spiritual. And then Narada Muni comes back later, many years later. Kailash, are you ready? Oh, you know what? I just have these beautiful grandkids. Only if you see them, they're so cute. I can't come with you right now to the forest. I gotta wait, you know. So Narada Muni comes back many years later. And there was a dog barking very ferociously from the house. And being a saintly person, Narada Muni can see, oh my God, I invited you, I gave you two chances, you didn't listen. He's become a dog. And this householder, Kailash, has become a dog. And Narada Muni is saying, still not too late. Come with me, I'll liberate you. And the dog is saying, oh, you know what? My kids, they're very careless. They leave the doors open, you know. I can't come. I just got to guard the house. I got to be with my children and grandchildren. And Narada Muni goes away. And then again, many years later, he comes back. And he saw one, this black snake, this cobra hissing. And Narada Muni, with his divine vision, he can see, oh my God, Kailash, you become a snake now. Said, yes, we have all this property, all this land, so many acres, we're growing sugar cane and coconuts. But my children are so careless and the cows come and eat it, children come and steal the fruit, so I got to be here to guard it. And Narada Muni said, if I keep, you know, giving you time, you're going to become so degraded. So he called the neighbors and said, oh, you know, there is this black serpent here. So everybody beat him with a stick and killed him. And Narada Muni said, okay, now you come with me. So this is the position when we are so attached. You know, this is not like stories. These are realities. So what is the way out? Since we are going to struggle and since we are going to sacrifice, what is the best thing to struggle for? What is the best cause to sacrifice? We have to find out and we have to do something while still we have some time left in this human form. It's like this one nice person, devotee. He was actually, I saw him in front of Prabhupada, our spiritual master's deity. He was actually praying very fervently, crying. So I asked him, I said, wow, Prabhu, you know, you're very sincerely praying. It was very, very nice to see you. What you were asking. And he said, oh, you know, I was praying for my son because I'm paying the price of coming to the West for making money. Now my son, he takes drugs. You know, he's not spiritual, he won't listen to me. And my daughter, you know, she's just like, she doesn't have any proper relationship. She wouldn't get married to one person. She's just going, you know, different people. And she's like in a very bad shape, in abusive relationships like this. So he's saying, I was praying to Prabhupada because I could see Prabhupada has changed the lives of so many millions of people. He's so powerful, he's so potent. And so I'm praying to Prabhupada to actually help my kids to change their lives also because it's possible for him. So I was explaining to him how it's nice you're praying to Prabhupada, but you should also encourage them to read his teachings. Because Prabhupada said he is in the form of his deity. Prabhupada explained when he was still alive, anybody comes and prays in front of my deity form. Even Prabhupada established his Murti, this deity, all over the world while still he was alive, which was a very rare thing. So Prabhupada said, you don't need my physically present, you can go to any temple, ISKCON temple, and pray to my deity form and you will have my blessings. Prabhupada is present. It's a funny story. In Africa, there were some group of dacoits. They like barged into a temple in the middle of the night and they wanted to plunder the temple. And they were pointing guns at the devotees and say, everybody, you know, hit the ground. And they wanted to take all the jewelries and whatever cash was in the temple. And they were pointing to Prabhupada and said, just like everybody else, you also go down. But they didn't realize it's a deity. So they thought, this guy must be so powerful. He's not even afraid of guns, so he must have something more powerful than ours. So they ran away. So he is real, he's there. So as this intelligent devotee was doing, if we actually approach Prabhupada, Prabhupada's teachings, he will actually lead us in the right direction. And immediately, all our problems will be solved. As soon as we approach spirituality, then whatever insignificant problems, whatever problems it may seem like so huge, they become insignificant. But we shouldn't hold on to them. We should let go. It's like this story Prabhupada tells. One lady was carrying a big, huge burden on her head. Sticks. And she tripped over and she was calling, oh God, help me, help me. And Krishna came. What can I do for you? You are calling for me so enthusiastically. Oh, can you please put those sticks back in my head, please? She was saying to God. In other words, God can give her whatever she wanted, but all she wanted was the burden back in her head. So we shouldn't be like that, but we should actually let go of all our attachments and burdens and become free. So, by sacrificing for Krishna consciousness, we will become happy. And that's the best investment ever within this crazy material world we can make. What's keeping us in this world is our attachments, birth after birth after birth. The way they catch monkeys in India, the hunters, is like they put some peanuts in a narrow pot, clay pot, you know. The pot is big, but the mouth is narrow, so they put some peanuts in there and they leave it. So when the monkey puts his hand, it goes like this, and the hand goes in, and then it grabs the peanut, and then it's like this, so it cannot come out. So all the monkey has to do is just like this and then he can come out, but he won't. He wants the peanut, so he's stuck. So in the same way, just for some peanuts, you know, we won't let go. We're just like attached. We're just stuck in this material world. But this ancient yoga scriptures explain, you will actually become happy if you let go of all the petty attachments. Sometimes we don't know any better, so we are attached, but once we come to a spiritual path and we're hearing something, we're reading something, we should do something about it. We shouldn't remain the same. There was so many examples shown in the ancient yoga text about how beautiful it is to sacrifice for the pleasure of Krishna. There's this famous guru, Vaishnava teacher in South India called Ramanujacharya. He was traveling, he was on pilgrimage, and he visited one of his disciples. And this lady, his guru was knocking. Ramanujacharya was visiting her and her husband with so many of his disciples. Ramanujacharya was visiting with like hundreds of disciples, and they knocked, and this lady disciple couldn't even open the door. And Ramanujacharya asked her, like, what's the problem? Why are you not opening the door? She said, oh, my cloth, they're so torn.
I'm like, my most of my body is exposed. I can't come in front of you. In other words, she was so poor. So Ramanujacharya gave her actually his chadar like this, so she can cover herself. And she came out and received them. And Ramanujacharya, even though he knows they're so poor, he said to her, oh, can you make lunch prasadam for all of us? We'll go bathe in the holy rivers, we'll come back. And she has not eaten for weeks, what to speak of feeding like hundreds of God brothers and guru, you know. So she was crying and praying for directions. And she remembered there was this lusty storekeeper in her village. She was so beautiful that he always wanted her, even though she was married. So she said, you know what, service to the guru is so important, I'll deal with everything else later. So she went to the storekeeper and said, can you please give me some grocery? And this, for this lusty man, it was like unbelievable. Like, I'll give you anything you want, you know. But spend some time with me. And she said, give me the grocery. My guru and disciple, God brothers are in town. I'll come and please you later. So she took all this nice boga grocery and went home and made this amazing, amazing feast for her teacher and all the God brothers. And Ramanujacharya actually ate very nicely. And all the devotees ate this amazing feast. And her husband came. The lady who made the preparations, her husband came and he was inquiring confidentially, where did you get money to buy all this grocery? We have not eaten anything for weeks. How did you make such a big feast? And she cried and she confessed, saying, oh, you know, I went to this lusty guy and I agreed to be with him tonight just so that I can get some grocery to cook for my guru and to serve him. The husband started crying, said, oh my God, you're such an amazing devotee. You're willing to sacrifice everything for the pleasure of the spiritual master. I wish I can learn from you like this. And Ramanujacharya left and she actually went to see him to keep his word. But she took some remnants, the leftover foodstuffs eaten by a great saint. It's actually so potent, it can actually change your consciousness if you eat it. Just like if you eat somebody that has tuberculosis or some crazy disease, if you eat the remnants, leftovers, you'll also get the disease. Similarly, somebody who's got love of God, if you eat the remnants, even a little bit, it changes your consciousness. So she went to give the storekeeper the remnants and she agreed to be with him. And as soon as he ate the foodstuffs that she gave him, his heart transformed. And he started crying. He said, oh my God, you know what I was thinking, you're such a saint. From now onwards, you know, you're my guru, I'm going to serve you and your husband, you should not be in poverty like this. So it was an example of how, even though they have like not much, but because of their sacrifice, they're actually able to please the spiritual master and influence the hearts of others. And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, there is this example of Srivas Thakur. Krishna appeared. Krishna came 500 years ago as Lord Chaitanya. You can see him on the right hand side of the altar. The right hand altar is on the left side. Even though they look alike, but so Lord Chaitanya appeared to give us this chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. And every evening Lord Chaitanya would perform this sankirtan, just like in ISKCON temples, Krishna temples, we have this chanting and dancing. So Lord Chaitanya was chanting and dancing so ecstatically, and one of Lord Chaitanya's close associates, his name was Srivas. And one day, that day, Srivas's son actually died. And which is a big thing, you know, if your son died, can you imagine how painful that is? It's just like, especially for a parent, it's just like unbearable. And Lord Chaitanya was going to come to his home and perform this chanting and ecstatic dancing like this. And Srivas Thakur told his wife, please don't make any drama now, because the Supreme Personality of Godhead is going to come to our home and he's going to perform chanting and dancing, and if you're crying and making a disturbance, he will not be happy and the whole thing will be spoiled. And Srivas Thakur explained how at the time of death, anybody even hears the chanting or anybody has any connection with Krishna consciousness, they will be liberated. So death is inevitable. It's going to come to our son. It's going to come to us. So if the Supreme Lord comes to our home and performs this chanting and dancing, our son's soul will definitely be liberated. It's actually a time to celebrate. So don't cry and spoil this. And if you do, then he said, I will go and drown myself in the Ganges, and you will have to cry for your husband and your son. But Lord Chaitanya, being so omniscient, omnipotent, he asked, as soon as he came, something wrong here? Srivas Thakur said, no, my Lord, everything is fine. You continue. He said, no, I feel something. And then he said, oh, my son died. And Lord Chaitanya said, your son died and you're not telling me? So I didn't want it to disturb you. Can you imagine the mentality? We want to chant or we want to do some spiritual activity so we're always happy. We want God to promise us there'll be no disturbances in our life. But a real devotee, real devotion means you're not concerned about yourself. You're worried about how to please the Supreme in all circumstances. And Lord Chaitanya rose this child from death, brought him back to life. He said, Gopal, why did you leave us? Untimely, come back. Immediately this child stood up and started chanting Hare Krishna. So this is the process. The process is Krishna consciousness. There are so many teachers, spiritual teachers, so many gurus. But it's very, very special, Srila Prabhupada's mood, Prabhupada's style is so liberal. Because in India, if you see people that are God conscious or spiritually elevated, they don't want to talk much. They don't want to be bothered by public. They go to Himalayas or they take this vow of silence or something, you know. They don't want to be bothered. Or even if they want to preach, they will only preach to Hindus or Brahmins or, you know, certain group of people. But where does Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, I incarnate millennium after millennium to liberate the Hindus? There's no such statement. Krishna says, you know, I come and I'm the father of all living entities. So in that mood, Srila Prabhupada is actually spreading Krishna consciousness far and wide. No questions asked. Everybody is welcome. And if you talk to any devotee, anybody has this facial paint and these beads, and this uniform, that means they're like, you know, dedicated ones, at least trying. So you can talk to them and ask them how they came to Krishna consciousness. And the story they tell is always amazing. It'll blow your mind. It's like my neighbor in the ashram, in the dorm where I stay, Radha Kripa Prabhu, most of you know, is one of our main priests. I've known him for like 10 years. So for the first time, I went for a walk with him to the park. And I just asked him, you know, hey, how did you come to Krishna consciousness? You know, it's about time. It's been 10 years, you know. And he said, you know, I was working, you know, 40, 50 hours a week. I'm sick and tired of like the video games and traffic and cars and Coca-Cola and all this stuff, you know, all this rat race. So he was just like, he just wanted to go back to his country, El Salvador. Just wanted to be peaceful, live simply. So he was telling his dad like this, you know. And his dad said, you know what, I have some books on yoga and meditation. Maybe it will help you, I'll send it to you. So all the way from El Salvador, his father ships him, mails him some books of written by Prabhupada. Small books, couple of them. And Radha Kripa Prabhu actually read the books, and immediately everything was so clear. It's like, you know, all the world religion, they're like piece of puzzles. But Krishna consciousness, like all of them put together, you see the clear picture for the first time. So he was so impressed, he came and he moved into the ashram, and one of, you know, sweetest people you can meet, so natural. Even people come from India, it's so hard. But when you see him, he's so Krishna conscious. So the solution for all the problems is to approach Krishna consciousness, approach Srila Prabhupada's teaching. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Prabhupada, they made it very easy. Enechi aushadhi maya nasi varalagi. Hari Nama Maha Mantra Lavo Tumi Magi. Lord Chaitanya, the incarnation of Krishna, appeared 500 years ago. He said, how long will you go on sleeping in the lap of which called Maya? It's time to wake up. Chanting is the alarm clock, you know. We're all dreaming. The chanting wakes us up. Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago. So, Lord Chaitanya said, you're sleeping for so long in the lap of Maya, I brought you the medicine that will bring you to reality. Hari Nama Maha Mantra, the names of Lord Hari, Lord Krishna. And that's the goal of life. Prema Pumartha Mahan, to chant the names of the Supreme with feelings, with devotion. And that's the easiest process of self-realization. But it's very hard to find that taste and absorption. It's like one great saint in our disciplic succession, Raghunath Das Goswami. He was chanting like 23 hours, 22 and a half hours a day. And one time he was so absorbed in chanting, one tiger actually came to eat him up. And he was so absorbed, Krishna actually came with a stick and chased away the tiger. And another saint saw this and he was chastising Raghunath Das Goswami. What is this? You're asking the Supreme for service when you're saying Hare Krishna, meaning you're saying, oh, the Supreme Lord Krishna, give me service. I've been in illusion, give me service for you directly. So you're chanting and Krishna is coming to protect you. This is nonsense. You should build yourself a hut and chant, be careful like this. So this kind of absorption is very hard to get. But Krishna promises, one who distributes this message of Bhagavad Gita to those who are suffering, then he will surely bless us with the taste and love for Krishna. It's very dry and hard if you try to do it independently. But if you please Krishna, if you please the spiritual master, the chanting actually becomes very easy and very, very joyful. So this is the process. In the Bhagavatam it says, who is poor? Who is rich? Bhagavatam says, one who is poor means he is always lamenting for something he's lost. Like a whiner, like complaining all the time. Oh, you know, I had this, I lost this. You know, I wish I can upgrade my phone. I wish I can upgrade my laptop. I wish I can go on vacation. Always complaining, always dissatisfied. That's a poor person. According to this statement, everybody in California is poor. So we have to spread these teachings if you really care about others, if you really want to help others. And the easiest way to do that is to distribute one of Srila Prabhupada's books to your friends, relatives, well-wishers. So easy. It's like a postman. A postman doesn't have to be a millionaire to give somebody a check for $1 million. He just takes it from somebody and gives it to somebody. Just be a postie. Similarly, Krishna has spoken the Gita, Prabhupada has translated the Gita. All we have to do is just give it to somebody. We have some flyers on the altar. the day Krishna actually spoke Bhagavad Gita is coming soon. So on that day we actually chant the entire Bhagavad Gita verses in Sanskrit and perform fire sacrifice and distribute prasadam like this. So what happens is during the month that Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita, we have this marathon. It's called Prabhupada Book Marathon, December Marathon, where all the devotees in the temple, we go out so many hours a day and approach people and distribute the books and enlighten the people. Like Brian is standing in the back. He gave to Clinton Bhagavad Gita. Who did you give to? Who did you give the book to in Santa Monica? Yeah, former President Bill Clinton got a Bhagavad Gita like last month from Brian. So you never know who is going to receive the book, especially if the politicians receive this teaching, they will influence others like this. It will be hard for us to influence so many people. So the point I'm trying to make is, if it's hard for you to distribute, please sponsor the Bhagavad Gitas. Please take a flyer, it gives you all the details. And you sponsor the Bhagavad Gitas and we will distribute them on your behalf. But unfortunately, the festival is going to be at the end of December. But we want the sponsorship in the beginning of December because we're having a month-long marathon starting from December 1st. So if you kindly take a flyer and contribute something, or you can take books and distribute yourself or whatever works for you. And somehow or other, contribute, participate, distribute. Somehow or other, engage yourself in Krishna consciousness. This way we will truly become happy. And whoever comes across us, we can influence them also in a positive way. Thank you so much for your kind attention. Is there any questions? Karuna Mataji. Yes. Where is Tattva Vit? Yes. Poor means one who is always lamenting, and one who is rich is one who has God consciousness, Krishna consciousness, because he's completely satisfied in himself, and he has the storehouse of spiritual wealth, storehouse of Krishna consciousness. And he doesn't lament when he lost something. He doesn't hanker for something he doesn't have. He's always happy in all circumstances. Does that make sense? Yes, Prabhu. That's a good question. How to let go attachment is difficult. It's difficult for all of us. But it's a gradual process. It's not an overnight thing. We need higher taste. Because we are clinging on to something insignificant because we think that's all we know, or we think that's going to make us happy. But by reading these books and sharpening our intelligence, we can understand. So many millions of people have come and gone, and they are not happy. So by engaging in Krishna consciousness, namely especially chanting attentively, concentrated number of rounds, you can actually develop a higher taste and detachment. And also, there are so many other processes. You can pray. But just to see the enemy is half the battle. For millions and millions of births, we just been so attached to material energy, and all of a sudden, at least, we want to give it up, which in itself is like a great thing. You're a very special soul. At least you want to give it up. So we can pray to Krishna consciously, please remove all the material desires and chant attentively and serve the mission. Because relationship actually develops from service. If you keep telling your girlfriend, I love you, but you don't do anything for her, after a while, it'll be like, what do you mean? the same thing. You keep telling Krishna, oh, you know, you're great, but we don't do anything for him. You know? So we got to sacrifice, invest. It should hurt. To give something like a hobby or this or that, that's one thing, but if you really want purification quick, it should hurt. We should serve in such a way that's like, oh God, anyways, it's all yours, Krishna. That makes sense? Thank you for the nice question. Yes, Prabhu? Yeah, Prabhu's saying, making a point, there's a saying that unless you're dissatisfied with material life, you cannot make progress in spiritual life. That's actually true. Because Queen Kunti says four things makes you intoxicated. If you have a high birth, if you have very high education, if you're really good looking and you have lots of money, she says it's very hard for you to surrender to Krishna. Like Christ also said similar things. It's easier for a camel to enter the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of a God. Something like that. So material things can make you proud, and it's when you're proud it's hard to call out with feelings. But, you know, if we chant Hare Krishna, Krishna promises that He will help you to remove all the things that are, you know, stopping you from make progress in spirituality. A couple of things. One is, if you have a lot of wealth or beauty or skills, you can use it in Krishna's service. You don't have to give them up. That way they become spiritualized. Or if you're really, really struggling, because you're trying hard, but these things really stop you from progressing, Krishna will take it away. That's why Krishna's one of God's name is Hari. Hari means one who takes away everything that stops a person from progressing in spiritual life. So it's not a one-way street. It's not just like a, you know, modern-day meditation. You meditate on your breath, or you meditate on nature, and you have like organic wine and you look good and you pray for some house in Malibu Beach. It's not like that. In Krishna consciousness, there's two things. One is you and help of Krishna. Krishna helps. As soon as we call His names, Krishna is so attentive. Just like even if all of us are doing something, we're busy and somebody says your name, immediately it catches your attention. You listening, what are they saying? That psychology comes from God. So when you call God's names, He's so attentive to your needs. And then He says, okay, let me help him. He's really sincere, but he's struggling with this one, that one. So he just removes it from your life. It makes it easy. So thank you so much for your kind attention. We're serving prasadam now. Please enjoy. And please take one flyer with you. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.